China with a lady named Sister Tong. And Sister Tong had been in prison for 6 months right before. She got out just a few weeks before I was there. And so, you know, I'm going to come back to America and I'm going to write a story for our Voice of the Martyrs magazine. And so, you know, you're going to write a story. You need to get the setting. And so I say, Sister Tong, tell me about the prison. And the thing I'm asking in my mind is, okay, tell me how hard the bed was. Tell me how terrible the food was. Tell me how big the rats were. Let's paint a picture of how miserable your Chinese prison was for the last 6 months. And my translator translated the question, and Sister Tong got this amazing smile on her face. And she said something in Chinese, and the translator said, oh, yes, that was a wonderful time. And I honestly thought there's no way she understood my question. So I looked at the translator and I'm like, now, are you sure? Like, I asked about prison. Yeah, I'm sure I did. Now, are you sure she understood the question? Yeah, she understood the question. And I said, okay, you're going to have to explain yourself, because nobody would call prison a wonderful time. That doesn't even make sense. But what Sister Tong said, she said, Jesus was so close to me in that prison cell. His presence was so real and so personal. And I experienced him in a way that I never did before I got arrested. And she said, the other thing was, there were some other ladies in my cell, and when I got there, they did not know Jesus. But now they do, because I got to be the one to introduce them to him. And so Sister Tong's idea was, Jesus was with me, and Jesus gave me a ministry to do. So of course it was a wonderful time. Why wouldn't it be a wonderful time if Jesus is with me and he's giving me a ministry to do?
Our children are leaving the faith in droves.
As a result.
Oh, I got a pause here.
We're going live right now.
How can we raise our kids to stand firm, have a faith that lasts, and navigate such a time as this?
Our nation's capital has just been...
To turn a nation, you have to take the next generation.
Today in the news, COVID-19.
I'm Jake McCandless, and this is my podcast, Stand Firm Parents. We're working together to help our children have a faith that lasts.
And now, here's Jake McCandless.
This is Stand Firm Parents. I'm Jake McCandless. I'm in LifeWord Studios, and I have an incredible guest today. The call to stand firm isn't anything new. It's not just a response, because children raised in our churches and raised in Christian homes are leaving the faith. Rather, it's been a call all along. Over and over in Scripture, we read the call to stand firm, to persevere, to endure. And usually every time we're called to stand firm, it is coupled with a warning of persecution. Matthew 24:10 has been a big catalyst in me launching and starting Stand Firm and eventually coming to this podcast. In Matthew 24:10, we read, at that time, many will turn away. Now, that warning is the result of an increase in persecution. The Bible does not hide the fact that followers of Christ will be persecuted. I believe it's very important, as we're talking about developing a faith that lasts within ourselves and in our families and standing firm, it's very important that we keep in our minds the potential of persecution, that we understand the reality given in Scripture, that we realize what has happened throughout history, and we realize what is happening today. Many of you are already aware of the ministry Voice of the Martyrs, who is keeping today's persecution on our minds and at the forefront, keeping what our brothers and sisters in Christ are facing, keeping that on our minds. Voice of the Martyrs has been helping us understand the reality of persecution around the world since 1967. And my guest today is the voice of Voice of the Martyrs, Todd Nettleton. I wanted to have this conversation because I believe a part of standing firm is being informed about persecution in Scripture and in history and in the future and what's going on now. And it's something we're going to come back to over and over again, but I wanted to do it this week, have this conversation this week, because coming up Sunday is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. Voice of the Martyrs began in 1967. Voice of the Martyrs, or VOM, serves persecuted Christians in the world's most difficult and dangerous places to follow Christ. I share about Voice of the Martyrs because our guest today, Todd Nettleton, is, as I've said, the voice of Voice of the Martyrs. Todd is Vice President of Message for the Voice of the Martyrs and host of the Voice of the Martyrs radio. His most recent book, I have right here, When Faith is Forbidden, 40 Days on the Front Lines with Persecuted Christians, was published in 2021 by Moody Publishers and won the Christian Book Award in 2022 in the category of biography and memoir. Todd serves as a voice for persecuted Christians, inspiring other followers of Christ through the examples of those living in more than 70 hostile and restricted nations where VOM works. During his more than 25 years of service with VOM, Thomas traveled the world and conducted face-to-face interviews with hundreds of Christians who have suffered persecution in more than 40 nations. One of the things that I'm hoping to gain from this conversation is the image of the reality, the scope and intensity of persecution happening right now in the world.
There are 70 plus countries where being persecuted is a normal part of following Jesus. In other words, it's not a one-off. It doesn't just happen so very rarely. It is a regular part of if you're going to be a Christ follower, you're going to have trouble. And that trouble looks different. In some places, that might be what we would call discrimination. Hey, your kids can't go to school here. You're a Christian. Or, hey, we're going to cut you off from the water supply or the electricity in our village because, hey, you're a Christian. That's sort of, I think, on the low end. On to the upper end, it can be places where literally you're laying down your life for the cause of Christ. I think of the country of North Korea. If you are found to be a follower of Christ in North Korea, you are probably going to go to a labor camp and you're probably going to die there. That is just the reality if you're not just executed by a firing squad. So there's a broad range of what that suffering looks like, but all of it is suffering for the name of Jesus Christ, for being a follower of Jesus Christ.
You know, you started with saying as a Christian, you just biblically, you should expect that. And I think us here in the West, especially here in America, it's hard to comprehend. I mean, could you speak a bit to that reality that the Bible talks about with persecution?
Well, as you say, that's what the Bible says. You know, Jesus said, the world hates me, and if you follow me, the world will hate you too. He obviously didn't have a marketing degree because no one would ever say, that's a great marketing slogan, use our product and people will hate you.
Yes.
But that's what Jesus said. James said, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, not if, but when. Peter wrote, you know, do not be surprised at the fiery trial that you are enduring. All through the scripture, there's this idea that, hey, this is going to cost you something. The challenge for us here in America is we've never had to pay that price. We haven't been called to, most of us haven't had to sacrifice. We haven't lost our job. We haven't been kicked out of our family. We haven't been beaten up or shot at for following Jesus Christ. So for us, and that's an incredible blessing. I'm thankful that I was born in the United States, but for us, it seems like that's an odd thing or a faraway thing, when in reality, it's exactly what the Bible promises, and it's what most of our brothers and sisters around the world experience. No, it's not popular to be a Christian. No, it's not easy to be a Christian. Yes, you will have opposition. We here in America haven't experienced that. But I think as you look at kind of the cultural winds in our country that are blowing, you have to kind of think, well, maybe our time of ease and our time of comfort is not always going to be that way.
Well, I'm curious about that. I'm glad you went there because I'm curious what you see from what you've seen around the world. What do you see that might be brewing here in the United States? But I really want to emphasize what you said. The Bible says when persecution comes, not if. And that just seems, I know for me and my walk with Christ and my time in ministry, that seems so foreign until a few years ago as I was really awakened through some stuff that VOM, you know, you do through VOM and those things, and just really awakened me. I mean, it was really, I guess, the what we saw from ISIS in 2014, you know, rolling through Iraq and those things. But you mentioned the winds of culture pointing to possibly things down the road for the United States. I mean, do you think there's a time that we face persecution like you see around the world, United States?
You know, that's a hard question to answer because I don't want to make predictions and I don't want to.
Yeah, that probably wasn't fair.
This month is when the pastors are going to start getting arrested. I think the message is we need to be prepared. And the way I tell people is if you're prepared today and persecution starts tomorrow, then you are prepared. You're ready. If you're prepared today and persecution doesn't start for 25 more years, well, that's fine because you'll be ready when it comes because you decided to get ready. And I think that's the key is this idea that we need to prepare. Certainly as parents, we need to prepare our children. I, about a year and a half ago, became a grandparent. And now I'm thinking about, okay, how do I prepare my grandchild? How do I pass on some of these truths to him? So I think, yes, we need to understand the Bible promises this. And yes, we need to look around at our culture and kind of discern what's happening. But I think the key thing is no matter if we think persecution is coming sooner or later, we need to prepare and we need to prepare our children.
I appreciate you saying that, hey, you're not going to predict it. You're not going to lay down some predictions. It's too much of that. But you mentioned prepare. When you look out at what you've experienced, I mean, you've got to have so many face-to-face conversations with our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted. And I like how you started with saying persecution looks like these different things, not just maybe one way we look at it. But what kind of preparation do you see around the world where they're facing persecution, and especially for parents as they're, you know, working with their children, like you mentioned?
There's a couple things that come to my mind when you ask that. And the first one is simply a shift in our mindset that, yes, I could be persecuted, and yes, it would be worth it. I think of the passage in Acts where the disciples were beaten by the Jewish leaders and then dismissed. And it says they left the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name. And I think we need to have that kind of mindset shift where, yeah, okay, that could happen to me. And if it does, that's okay. In fact, the Bible talks about it as being an honor. Like God has honored me to allow me the privilege of suffering for his namesake. So that mindset shift is the first thing, is just to acknowledge, yeah, this could happen. And yes, I will stand. Make that decision ahead of time. I will stand. Even if it happens, I will stand because Jesus is worth it. Then I think that the two ways to prepare are, number one is the scriptures. And we've already talked about some of the places where it says, yes, you will suffer, but, you know, do not fear, for I have overcome the world, Jesus says. You don't have to worry about the suffering because I've already overcome the world. So number one is the scripture. And then number two is the stories of people who have already been persecuted. And the analogy that I like to use, and we're coming into football season. I love football season. It's one of my favorite times of the year. And if I'm going to play the Patriots next Sunday, I'm going to be watching film all week of the team that played the Patriots last Sunday. And I'm going to watch, hey, what plays did they run that worked? What plays did they run that didn't work? What defenses did they use to stop them that worked? And I'm all week long, I'm watching film of what the Patriots do. We have the privilege. We have the ability to watch the film of our persecuted brothers and sisters who have already been through persecution, and they have come out with their faith intact. They've come out even more bold than they were before. They've come out with a smile on their face and a testimony to how faithful God is. We don't have to go into this blind. We have the film. We can watch the film. We can know their stories, and we can use that to encourage ourselves and prepare ourselves, because every time we read a story of a persecuted Christian, we can ask ourselves the question, hey, what would I do? You know, that guy, the police were knocking on his door and they came in to arrest him and they said, hey, are you a Christian? And he could have said no. And then they would have left. But he said, yes, I am a Christian. So what would I do if the police knocked on my door? And if they asked me, hey, are you a Christian? That's how we make use of these testimonies to prepare ourselves and encourage ourselves and get ready. And again, for our children as well. One of the things that my dad did in my life, in the life of my brother and I, is he read us the stories of great missionary heroes, great martyr heroes. Yes. And so even as a very young child, 10, 11, 12 years old, some of my heroes were missionaries who laid down their lives for the cause of Christ. I think we as parents, our kids are going to have heroes. Some of them are going to hit a baseball. Some of them are going to dunk a basketball. But we can make sure they also have heroes who suffered for Christ, who were serving Christ wholeheartedly, and make sure they see that as heroic as well.
That's incredible. And I caught in your bio that you're a fantasy football fan. And so
I am
a big football fan. So, and that's what you're doing with your broadcast, your books, VOM. That's what you're doing is you're splicing and slicing and putting together film for us to watch so we can hear these stories. But incredible. And I want to give a shout out. I'm wanting to do a program down the road just on this. But VOM has the Torchlighters, which tells these stories to children. And I think it's just an incredible opportunity with that. So you mentioned, you know, thinking about it as a parent, as a grandparent, you know, preparing. I look at what happens in these persecuted countries. And from my limited knowledge in this, what I see is two types of persecution. You know, children, you know, that children face. One, they face it because of their parents, because of the faith of their parents. And I think that's something that gets missed often. Before the child even gets to make faith their own, they're facing persecution. And then when a child decides to follow Christ, they may face that persecution. But for lack of a better way of saying this, what motivates these parents? One, to keep the faith themselves, knowing what it could do to their family, do to their children. But then also, you know, what motivates them to encourage their children to follow Jesus? You know, I think I know. But so this podcast is aimed at Christian parents. And, you know, I think at some point, generations are going to have to face this. Like, that's a difficult thing. What motivates them?
It's a hard question because, you know, what greater role do I have than as a parent? What more important task do I have than to raise my children? So,
yeah.
Therefore, I need to do whatever I can to be with my children. So what if, you know, this is going to get me arrested? How do I think through those things? The thing that comes to my mind is the parable of the treasure in the field. And if you remember the parable,
yes.
The guy finds the treasure, he buries it again. He goes and sells everything he has in order to buy that field, to own that treasure. But the Bible says he goes in his joy and sells everything he has. And I think that's the thing that we need to understand is what we have, the treasure we have in Christ is worth everything we have. And that includes our children. And that's such a hard thing as a parent, as a grandparent to say that. But yes, if we have to leave our children behind to go to prison, that's worth it to have that treasure. And so I think as we understand the treasure, as we understand the value of our relationship with Christ, and as we train our kids to see that as well, so they know, hey, one of the things I pray for the children of persecuted Christians, and I think particularly right now, there's a pastor in China. His name is Pastor Wang Yi. He is serving a 9-year prison sentence in China. He has a teenage son named Joshua. And one of the things I pray is that Joshua will see his dad as a hero in this story and not as somebody who's a criminal or somebody who embarrassed him by getting arrested, but that he will really see his father as a hero. I think as we raise our children to see the treasure, to see how valuable the kingdom is and how it's worth anything we have to give up, anything we have to sell, we're still winning when we make that deal. When our children see that, then I think they understand if our faith costs them something, they understand that. And it also prepares them for the day when their faith will cost them something as well.
I love that you took us to the treasure. I can't imagine, because as a parent, grandparent, you think, you know, your main role is to protect your children. But I guess we're talking about protecting them eternally, not just in the temporal here when we talk about this.
That is such a key point for our persecuted brothers and sisters, is having that lens of eternity that we're looking through before we look through the lens of today or the lens of the next 5 minutes or the lens of my comfort, my safety, looking through that lens of eternity. And again, teaching our children to see through that lens as well is such a key part of raising kids who are ready to endure persecution faithfully.
Well, and seeing the parent as a hero, I love that prayer. And something we're going to close with is talking about the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. So you've had the chance to see some of these places and situations where parents are imprisoned, families are suffering because of their faith. What are some things that you've seen and ways parents have dealt with this with their children?
You know, that is a hard thing. And again, I come back to my own experience as a parent. Like what's more important to me than raising my boys, than seeing them raised up? Well, Jesus is more important to me. So having that attitude, and as we are praying for families, recently I was in Central Asia, and there is a law in one of the countries in Central Asia where any child under the age of 18 who is found at a religious gathering, and that could be an Islamic religious gathering or a Christian religious gathering, but the law says if your child is under 18 and they're caught at a religious gathering, they can be removed from your home. Like, you are seen as an unfit parent if your child is at a religious gathering.
Wow.
And as we were in that country, and as we talked to some of the pastors who are wrestling through this, like, what does this mean? How do we deal with this as a church? How do I deal with this as a dad, as a parent? What am I going to do? How am I going to sort of maneuver through this environment where I understand this is literally risking my ability to parent my child by having them at a religious service? Those types of things. I mean, if you just put yourself in that place, I think that helps to power our prayers, because what would I do? What would you do? How would we respond to that? As we think about the suffering of our persecuted brothers and sisters, as we really remember them in prison as though we were in prison with them, as Hebrews 13:3 says, that can motivate us to pray, and it can equip us to pray. Hey, if I was in prison, I would sure want to know that my wife was being cared for, and that she had a roof over her head and she had enough to eat. Okay, I can pray for the wives of imprisoned Christians, for the husbands of imprisoned Christians, that they will be cared for, that they will have enough to eat. As we think about, okay, if I was there, what would I need? Okay, that's what I'm going to pray for my brothers and sisters who are there right now.
That's such incredible insight. You know, again, my story, I kind of just always put persecution in history. You know, that's what happened in the first century, that, you know, different times.
And the book of Acts ended, and then persecution ended.
Exactly. That's right. And but I hear people say that persecution of Christians is more on a larger scale now than it was in history. Is that accurate?
I think that is true. And you know, there's the bad side of that. Like, look how much suffering there is. But the other side of that coin is, look how the church has grown in places where there's persecution. You know, I think of Iran conservatively. I think most people think there are at least 1 million Christians in Iran right now, in the Islamic Republic of Iran. Well, you know, that's great news. There's 1 million Christians, but that also means there's more than 1 million targets for persecution in Iran. So there is more persecution, but part of that is because there are more Christians in these hostile areas and restricted nations.
I'm so glad you went there, because that was something I wanted to ask that wasn't in the script, but it, you know, in the questions I sent ahead of time. But when what you've seen were in places where people are persecuted, where believers are persecuted, do you also see the church on fire in a way that, like a way I think I dream of as a pastor, as a Christian leader? You know, we long for the churches to be on fire, for believers to be on fire. But it seems to go hand in hand with persecution. Have you seen that to be the case?
I have seen that. And one of the hard parts of this is we want the fruit of persecution, right? But we don't want the suffering of persecution. Yes. So the fruit of persecution is revival in many, many cases. Now, not always, but in many cases. And one of the things that happens, it's very simple. If going to church this Sunday could get me arrested, the only reason I'm going to go to church is to worship Jesus and to serve him. If I'm going for any other reason, if I'm going to make business contacts, or I'm going because, you know, it's air conditioned, or I'm going to meet girls, none of that is worth going to jail for. So I'm not going to go anymore. So what you have is you have churches full of people who are there to worship Jesus. They're there for all the right reasons. And when you have a church like that, of course it's going to grow. It's going to be very natural to grow, because people are going to see what happens. People are going to be drawn into that. And so I think that separation of motivation for people, that persecution forces, it forces us to think about, hey, is it really worth it to me to go to church if it could cost me? Yes, it's worth it. Okay, good. I'm going to go. Again, when you have a church full of those kind of people, that church is going to grow.
In some ways, that's exciting. I mean, again, I don't want to face what it takes to get that fruit, to be honest, or my children to, but that's exciting to hear that aspect. So our audience,
I think that's an encouraging thing for us as American Christians. You know, it's easy to think, hey, we persecution may be coming to us. Isn't that terrible? But I think we need to kind of remember there is some amazing fruit that happens in the midst of persecution. Let me tell you a quick story. So
yeah, please.
Many years ago now, I was in China with a lady named Sister Tong. And Sister Tong had been in prison for 6 months right before. She got out just a few weeks before I was there. And so, you know, I'm going to come back to America and I'm going to write a story for our Voice of the Martyrs magazine. And so, you know, you're going to write a story. You need to get the setting. And so I say, Sister Tong, tell me about the prison. And the thing I'm asking in my mind is, okay, tell me how hard the bed was. Tell me how terrible the food was. Tell me how big the rats were. Let's paint a picture of how miserable your Chinese prison was for the last 6 months. And my translator translated the question, and Sister Tong got this amazing smile on her face, and she said something in Chinese, and the translator said, oh yes, that was a wonderful time. And I honestly thought there's no way she understood my question. So I looked at the translator and I'm like, now, are you sure? Like, I asked about prison. Yeah, I'm sure I did. Now, are you sure she understood the question? Yeah, she understood the question. And I said, okay, you're gonna have to explain yourself, because nobody would call prison a wonderful time. That doesn't even make sense. But what Sister Tong said, she said, Jesus was so close to me in that prison cell. His presence was so real and so personal, and I experienced him in a way that I never did before I got arrested. And she said, the other thing was, there were some other ladies in my cell, and when I got there, they did not know Jesus. But now they do, because I got to be the one to introduce them to him. And so Sister Tong's idea was, Jesus was with me, and Jesus gave me a ministry to do. So of course it was a wonderful time. Why wouldn't it be a wonderful time if Jesus is with me and he's giving me a ministry to do? I think that's an attitude that we need to have, and we need to kind of borrow her glasses and say, hey, where am I today?
Yeah.
Maybe it's not someplace I want to be. Maybe it's a hospital room. Maybe it's an unemployment line. Maybe it's, you know, a jail. I don't want to be here, but is Jesus with me? Yes, he says he will be with us always. And is he giving me a ministry to do? Probably, if we open our eyes and look for it, he has a purpose for us to be there. So I think that's encouragement for American Christians. If persecution is coming, let's remember Sister Tong and let's watch for the opportunities that Jesus gives us, even if we're in a place that we don't want to be.
It's incredible. Put on her glasses. She messed up your story, right? But I love that perspective. So this podcast is aimed towards Christian parents who have a heart and are being intentional on trying to develop a faith that lasts. What would you speak into them from your experience working with our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world?
Boy, I would just encourage you. The days are long, but the years are short. And as my boys are grown now, and so I know how short, I know how fast that time goes. So I would encourage you to be steady. The daily patterns and the daily habits that your children see in you, they're going to pick up some of those. And so you live your life in such a way that they can follow in your footsteps. And boy, I know it's hard. I know there's so many times you fail. There's so many times I failed. I look back now, there's some things I'm just like kicking myself. Like, why did you do it that way? Why did you respond in that way? But I would just encourage you, be faithful day after day after day, and tell your children the stories of Christians who are suffering their faith. Instill the scriptures into your children and pray for them every single day. Pray that God will have his hand on them, that his spirit will rest on them. And I think you're in good stead if you do those things.
Well, thank you for saying that and helping me out, because every episode I'm saying it starts with us. It starts with what we show and what we expose them to. So you said talk about keeping these heroes of the faith in front of us, our persecuted brothers and sisters. VOM does that. How can you help us? How can we tune in? What resources can we go to keep that in front of us?
Persecution.com is the main Voice of the Martyrs website. So persecution.com, right at the top of the page, there's a button that says free magazine. We would love to send you our monthly magazine that simply tells these stories. Again, tells these stories of persecuted Christians. You can read them. You can read them to your kids. And you can have that discussion. Hey, what would we do? What would our family do if this was happening in our country, if this was happening in our neighborhood? I would point you to a couple of other resources. There is a VOM app for your smartphone, for your tablet, and every single day it pulls up a new prayer request. So every day of the year, you can actually set your phone to remind you every day of the year to pray for persecuted Christians. There is a new request every single day. The other thing, selfishly, I would point you to is Voice of the Martyrs Radio. I host every week our VOM radio program, and we talk to Christians who have endured persecution. We talk to people who are working in hostile and restricted nations, and you get to hear firsthand, hey, this is their story. They're telling it. They're telling you how God is at work in these places. You will come away encouraged. You'll also come away equipped to pray, because one of the last questions I ask in all of those interviews is, okay, how do we pray? If I'm interviewing a brother from Pakistan, I say, okay, how do we pray for Pakistan? How do we pray for the Christians there? So it is also a great way to equip yourself to pray and to be inspired by the stories of our persecuted brothers and sisters.
Well, I'm impressed. You didn't even plug your book, your new book. So, no, such great resources, but I do want to give a shout out. I don't promote books so much on here. This is not a format for new books, but when we have resources that I think parents need, I want to share it. And this is one of those. It's called When Faith is Forbidden, 40 Days on the Front Lines with Persecuted Christians by Todd Nettleton. And just incredible. It's set up like a daily devotional where you're walking with the persecuted church. And one of the things that I was sharing that I really love about it is you have some of your actual journal entries as you've been there. Just incredible. And so I encourage parents to check this out. It's a great way to just really... I had the opportunity to do this in a very similar book, and it made such an impact on my life as I just spent like a day with a hero, and it just really encouraged me and challenged me in my faith. So this coming Sunday is International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And so you've given us some ways to pray. Can you just give us some encouragement to pray and to get our churches to pray? And what can we pray for on that day?
Well, there are resources for the International Day of Prayer. We shorten it to IDOP around here at VOM. So IDOP Sunday, as you mentioned, coming up this week, there are resources. There's a short video you can use in your family devotions. You can use it in your worship service this Sunday with your whole church. But it really illustrates, in this particular case, it illustrates what our brothers and sisters in Colombia are facing. So you meet a pastor in Colombia, you see what he's going through. And the whole idea of these videos is to put a face on our brothers and sisters who are suffering for the gospel so that we can pray, not just God bless persecuted Christians. That's a great prayer. That's a great place to start. But when we have names and faces and places, we can pray so much more specifically. And so that's what the IDOP resources are about. The encouragement I would give you is really the encouragement of Hebrews 13:3. Again, remember those in prison as if you were in prison with them. And, you know, I have two brothers. If one of my brothers was in prison and say he was getting beaten up every day, you wouldn't really have to remind me to think about him. You wouldn't have to remind me to pray for him. You wouldn't have to remind me to call my congressman and my senator and say, hey, my brother's being beaten up in prison every day. That would come very, very naturally to me because he's my brother. Of course I'm going to respond when he's suffering. So I think the encouragement for you, brother and sister who are watching this, is that that's happening. Our brothers, our sisters are in prison. They are being beaten up every day, and we must respond. And once you understand that family relationship, it's not a guilt thing. It's not a, well, this is one more thing on my list I have to do. It becomes very, very natural that it wells up within you to pray for these members of our family, to pray that God would sustain them and encourage them and protect them, to pray for their children to grow up, to love and serve the Lord, even though they see firsthand the cost that it will likely mean for their lives. I think it becomes very, very natural for us to pray once we understand this is our family. These are our brothers and sisters. We must pray for them.
Thank you for that and really giving us some direction, because as I've led this over the last few years, it's in my church, it's hard to just say, hey, pray, because it just seems like a blanket prayer but you've really brought it home for us. And something I've tried to say throughout the podcast, I need one of those buzzers like from the Taboo game, somebody to buzz, and that's a 90s reference, I guess, probably for many listening. But I don't want to say persecuted church, because these are part of our family. These are our brothers and sisters. They're not separated. Todd, I can't thank you enough for taking your time to be here and be a part of Stand Firm Parents. Todd, thank you for this opportunity.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me. And I just, again, encourage people, pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters.
Todd said it. We have the film. We can look to our brothers and sisters in Christ who are standing firm in the most difficult situations, whose faith is lasting. We can look at the film, and we need to, and we can learn. One, as he talked about, just having a discussion. We talk about preparing, just a discussion of what if that's us. I encourage you as a couple and with your kids, with your parents, grandkids, with your family, have that discussion. We have the film. We can find that film at persecution.com. Listen to the regular radio program that Todd hosts. You can get that free magazine. You can also get Todd's book, When Faith is Forbidden. I encourage you to do so. But let's keep that example before us. You've been listening to Stand Firm Parents. Stand Firm Parents is a production of Stand Firm Ministries in partnership with LifeWord Studios, created by Jake McCandless and Brandon Harrington of Dime Collective. Again, thank you for listening, and be sure to subscribe, share, and most importantly, stand firm.